So this is Easter Sunday, and we've already said that makes it very special. It's the anniversary of the day when Jesus rose from the dead. So we're going to talk this morning about Jesus. Jesus lived here on earth about 2,000 years ago. He lived in the land of Israel. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in a town called Nazareth. He worked as a carpenter. He left home when he was about 30 years old. He traveled around the land of Israel, preaching, and he was put to death when he was about 33 years old. He wasn't an old man, was he? 33 years old. And they nailed him to a cross. And he hung there on that cross until he died. Now, I want to start this morning with a very important question. And I hope someone will answer it for me. Perhaps one of the younger ones. There are many right answers to this question. Who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? Jesus had many names. There are many titles we use for the Lord Jesus. But who was Jesus? Meg. Jesus was God's son. The Bible says he was God's only son. Before Jesus lived here in this world, he was in heaven with God his Father. And then he came down to live in this world. But he was still God's Son. We must never forget that. Jesus is God's Son. And he shares his Father's power and goodness and wisdom and holiness and glory. We must worship God's Son just as we worship God his Father. Jesus showed that he was God's Son in lots of different ways. Can you tell me any of the things that Jesus did which showed that he was God's son? Thomas. Sorry, Sam. That your children look so much alike, Paul. That I'm mind you, I get my own children's names mixed up. So go on. Sorry, Sam. He healed people. He healed blind people, people who had never seen anything. He healed lame people, people who had never walked. He healed all sorts of people. And he could do that because he was God's son. What other things did he do to show that he was God's son? Vicky? He never did anything wrong. Nobody else has ever lived a life like Jesus. Jesus never did anything wrong. God is perfectly good. And so God's Son lived a life of perfect goodness. What else did Jesus do to show that he was God's Son? David?
In one of the stories of the Bible, he turned water from a well into wine.
He turned water into wine. Only God's Son could do that. What else did he do to show that he was God's Son? Jesse, we'll go on to talk about that. But even before he died, what things did he do? Josiah?
He wasn't fooled by Satan.
He was never fooled by Satan. Other people, all of us have been deceived by Satan at one time or another. But he never was, because he was God's son. He walked on the water. He walked on the water of the lake. He could do that because he was God's son. Once the boat he was in a storm on the lake. And he said to the wind, stop. And he said to the water, to the waves, be still. And they obeyed him. He could command the wind and the waves because he was God's son. He did all these wonderful things because he was God's son. He could read people's minds and hearts. He could look inside people and know everything that was going on in their heart. He knew all their secrets because he was God's son. Nothing could be hidden from him. Jesus was God's son. But now I want to ask another question. Jesus was God's own son, so was he really a human being at all? Was Jesus a man? Yes or no? Sam, I'll get it right this time. Sam. Yes, Jesus was a man. He was really a human being. He had a real human mother. He was born in the same way as you or me. And when he was a baby, he cried just like any other baby. And he grew up just like any other little boy. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to read and write. He had human feelings. He had a human mind. He had a real human body. There was only one way in which he was different from you and me. And what was that? The fact that he was perfectly good. He never did anything sinful. He never did one wrong thing. He never had one wicked thought. He never said one selfish word. He never wasted one minute in all his life. He spent every minute of his life in a way that pleased God, his Father in heaven. When you read the story of Jesus' life here on earth, you can see that he was a real human being. Who can tell me some of the things Jesus did that show that Jesus was a real human being, or some of the things that happened to him that show he was a real human being with a real human body and real human feelings? Who can tell me some of those things? Vicky?
He needed to eat and drink.
Sometimes he was hungry. If he didn't get food, he was hungry just like anybody else. If he didn't have anything to drink, then he felt thirsty just like anybody else. Hannah.
He was born as a human.
He was born, we've said it, just like you and me, with a real human mother. Bethan? He got tired. There were times when he was utterly exhausted, worn out, just like you or me. David?
He had to get a job as a carpenter.
He did an ordinary human job. He had to earn his living. He worked as a carpenter. There were times when he was lonely and he wanted companions to be there for him. There were times when he felt sad. When one of his friends died, he stood outside the tomb and he just cried. Jesus was a real human being, with a real human body that could feel hungry and cold and tired, and real human feelings. So have we got this clear? Jesus was God's son who shared all God's power and glory. And Jesus was a man, a real human being like you and me. Now, at Easter, we remember, firstly, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. We were thinking about that on Good Friday. He died a terrible, lonely, painful death. The Bible says he died in the place of sinners. He died taking the punishment that we deserve. He had done nothing wrong, but he was willing to take the blame for my sins. He was willing to be punished in my place so that God could forgive me and everyone else who trusts him. That's the wonderful, amazing truth that we were thinking about on Good Friday. Christ died for sinners. The righteous one, the one who was perfectly good, died in the place of the unrighteous to bring us to God. But Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, on the first day of the week, on the first Easter Sunday, Jesus rose again. We read about it earlier. A group of women went to the tomb early in the morning. They went there to lay out his body, to pay their respects, to say their last farewells. And two angels met them and said, "He is not here, he is risen." And later that day, Jesus came to two of the people who had been his friends. They were on a journey to a place called Emmaus. And he walked with them along the road. And then he spent time with them in their home. And then that evening he appeared to his disciples in the room where they were staying. And then he appeared to many more people. On one occasion, he appeared to 500 people all in the same place at the same time. Jesus was alive. He had died on that cross. He had been buried. But he had returned from the dead. He appeared to men. He appeared to women. He appeared to both together. He came to them when they were indoors and when they were out of doors going about their business. He came to them late at night. He came to them early in the morning. And he was alive. He was wonderfully alive. He was gloriously alive. Oh, they could still see the wounds from the cruel treatment that he'd received when they first met him after he came back from the dead. He still had a deep wound in his side where a soldier had driven in a spear. But he was alive. And he still is. Jesus had defeated death. He could never die again. You know, there's no grave anywhere on earth marked Jesus of Nazareth, because he's alive. He spent 6 weeks or so after he returned from the dead. He spent 6 weeks or so with his friends and with his disciples. And then he said farewell to them. But he didn't die again. No, they watched as he was taken up from them into heaven. God the Father took his Son back to heaven to share his throne. And Jesus is alive now in heaven. He's reigning as the King in heaven. And he sent his Spirit down to earth to carry on his work. Jesus is alive and he's doing wonderful things by his Spirit everywhere in the world. Now, I've got my next big question. It's this. You remember we said a moment ago that during the 30 years when Jesus was here on earth, he was God's Son, but he was also a real human being, a man. He was put to death. He rose again. When he rose again, was he still a man? Was he still human? Some people think that when Jesus rose again, he came back just as a sort of spirit. Some people say that when he rose again, he turned into a sort of angel. They say he can't have been a real human man with a real human body after dying and rising again from the dead. But what do you think? When Jesus came back from the dead, was he still a real human being? Oliver.
Yes.
When Jesus came back from the dead, he was still a real man. Let's just remind ourselves of some of the things that happened when he rose again. Remember those women who went to the tomb? And the angels met them and said, "He's risen." Well, what happened to those women next? It says this: Jesus met with them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. That's in Matthew's gospel. When these women saw Jesus, they fell down at his feet and they held on to his feet. So he had a real body. A body you could hold on to. He had feet. Like your feet or my feet. What about Jesus' two friends who were walking along the road to Emmaus when Jesus met them? They invited him into their home. And this is what it says. When Jesus was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. So he had real hands. He could pick up the loaf of bread. He could break the bread into pieces with his hands. So he had a real body. He had real hands. But more than that, later that day, he came to his disciples together in a room in Jerusalem. And the disciples were really frightened when they saw him. And this is what it says. They were startled and frightened. They thought they were seeing a spirit. When they saw Jesus, they thought he was just a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it's I myself. Touch me. See, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Jesus said to them, "I'm not a ghost. I've got flesh and bones. I'm a real flesh and bones person still, with a solid body like yours." And when he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. What would they have seen when he showed them his hands and his feet? They'd have seen that there were wounds in his hands and his feet, where he had been nailed to the cross. And then, while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in front of them. So Jesus, who died and rose again, could still eat. He ate a piece of fish. He had teeth and a tongue and a digestive system. Do you remember the story of Thomas? We read it. Thomas was one of Jesus' disciples, but he wasn't there on that occasion. But a week later, he met Jesus as well. And Jesus held out his hands to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here. Put your finger into the wounds in my hands. They haven't closed up yet. Put your hand into the gash in my side. It hadn't healed up yet." Jesus wasn't just a ghost. He was still the same man, with the same body, with the wound still there, But now those wounds couldn't harm him. Nothing could harm him. Because he had already died and risen from the dead. And I'll tell you about just one other occasion when Jesus met his disciples after he rose again. They'd been out all night fishing. And in the morning they saw someone on the shore of the lake. And he called to them. And it was Jesus. And it says this, when they came ashore, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And Jesus took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Jesus, after he had died on the cross, after he had returned to life, he built a fire using charcoal, just the same way as you or I would build a fire. And he cooked breakfast for his disciples, just like you or I would cook breakfast. And he took the bread and the fish and he served it to his disciples, just like you or I would serve food. And they had breakfast together, just as you could have breakfast with me. You're all invited. The disciples weren't having breakfast with a ghost. They weren't having breakfast with an angel. They were having breakfast with a man, with Jesus, their friend, their master. They knew he was God's son. They knew he had died and risen again, but he was still a real man, a real human being like you or me. Well, that was then. But we've already said, after 6 weeks, Jesus returned to heaven. And he's in heaven now, reigning over the world. So when Jesus left this world, when he returned to heaven, did he stop being a man then? What do you think about that? Does Jesus still have a real human body now? Now that he's in heaven? Does he still have real human feelings? You don't need to say it, just shake your hand or nod. Does Jesus in heaven still have real human feelings? Is he a real human being still? We know he's God's son. We know he's the King of Kings. But is he still human? Well, again, listen to what the Bible says. Listen to this verse. This is one of Jesus' disciples speaking after Jesus had left this world and gone back to heaven. And he talks about how Jesus died and rose again. He says this. They asked Pilate to have Jesus executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. And then he says this, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Peter said to all the people who were listening to him, and this was months after the Lord Jesus had returned to heaven, years maybe, Peter said to them, you can be forgiven for your sins. Forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. You can have all your sins taken away through this man, through Jesus. So Jesus, God's son, is still a man. And Jesus is the one through whom we can be forgiven. I want you to think about that for a moment. If you could see into heaven at this moment, if you could see the throne of God, you would see someone sitting on that throne, the throne of heaven. It's God's Son, and he's shining with power and glory and majesty. He's got all power. He's got the whole universe under his control. But he's still a human being. He's got a human body. He's got human feelings. He's still got scars in his hands and his feet and his side. And this man, Jesus, can forgive your sins. Through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. You and I have both done many, many wrong things, sinful things. We're all sinners here. And we all need our sins forgiven. Well, this man who is sitting on the throne of heaven is able to forgive your sins and mine. You can turn to this man, Jesus. He knows all about you. You can ask him to forgive all your sins. Why is it so important to know that Jesus is still a real human being? Well, there are lots of reasons, but I'm going to give you three. Number one, it means that he can sympathize with you. When I think about God, sometimes God seems very distant and very mysterious. He's so great. He's so powerful. He's so different from us in so many ways. But then I remember that Jesus, God's Son, is a real human being like myself. And that means he knows just what it's like to live here in this world. He knows what it's like to be lonely. Are you ever lonely? Well, Jesus, God's Son, knows what it feels like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to be frightened. He knows what it's like to be exhausted. He knows what it's like to feel confused. He's experienced real pain. He's been bereaved. He's cried real tears. So he understands. He can sympathize with me in every situation. And he knows how to help me. He knows just what will be a help to me in every situation. The Bible says this, he's not someone who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but he has been tried just as we are at every point, yet was without sin. He never did that. He never sinned. But he's, you know, so often when I'm going through difficult times, I react wrongly and I sin. He never did that. But he has been through those difficult times. He's been tempted and tried. So he can understand. He can sympathize. The Bible says he can give mercy to help us at our time of need. So Jesus, the King of the universe, is still one of us. He's a real human being. And he can sympathize with us. The second thing is this, he can bring us back to God. Listen to this verse. God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This verse teaches that we all need to be saved. We're sinners. We've broken God's commands. We're guilty. So we need to be saved. We need to be rescued from the mess we're in, from our sinful state. And the Bible says God wants us to be saved. But how could we be saved? How can we come back to God? all the wrong things we've done, they're like a barrier between us and God. We can't cancel out the wrong things we've done. We can't take away the barrier between us and God. You know how it is when you've treated someone badly and you know they're angry with you, but you don't dare to go to them. You're frightened to go to them and to ask them to forgive you. In fact, you're sure they won't forgive you. And you think to yourself, oh, is there anyone who I could ask to go instead of me, to be a go-between? Is there anybody who could step in and plead for me? Is there anybody who cares about me and who they'd listen to? What do we call a person who does that for us? We call them a mediator. Well, listen to the very next verse. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is God's Son, but he's also a man. He's the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus can act as a mediator. He can be a go-between between us and God. He's God's Son, so God will surely listen to him. God will do whatever he asks. And he's one of us. He's a real human being, so he really cares about us. He'll plead for us. If you ask Jesus to do it, Jesus will act as your mediator. He'll be the go-between. If you're frightened to approach God, well, Jesus will approach him on your behalf. He'll go to God his Father. He'll ask God to forgive you. He'll ask God to accept you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. And it doesn't matter how often you've let God down. And it doesn't matter how much you've hurt God or offended God. God wants people to be saved. And so Jesus is there as the go-between, between you and God. Do you want to know God? Do you want to be close to God? Do you want to be loved by God? Do you want to have God as your Father and your friend? Do you want the barrier between you and God to be removed? Well then, speak to Jesus now. Let him do the pleading for you. Say to him, oh, Jesus, please tell your Father I'm sorry. Please tell him I want to be right with him. Please ask him to forgive me. And Jesus will do that. He'll be your go-between. And God the Father will accept you for Jesus' sake. So Jesus can sympathize with us. And Jesus can bring us back to God. But then there's a third thing. And this is very serious and it's very solemn. Jesus can judge us. I want you to listen to one more verse. God has fixed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. One day God is going to judge this world. And everyone who's ever lived in it, including you and me, the day is already fixed. But how will God do it? Answer, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he will come back to act as the judge. The man Jesus will be our judge. And what that means is that none of us will have any excuses on the day of judgment. Because Jesus, our judge, has lived here in this world. and has lived a perfect life here in this world. So I might say, on the day of judgment, well, the reason I lost my temper so often was because I had lots of difficult people around me. And the judge will say, well, so did I, but I never lost mine. I might say, well, I was very busy, so I never had time to worship God. And Jesus will say, so was I, but I made the time. I might say, well, I was badly hurt, and that's why I turned bitter and angry. And he'll say, I was hurt as well. They nailed me to a cross, but I never turned bitter. Do you see, an angel might not have the right to judge us, because he's never had to live in this world. But Jesus has every right to judge us, because he's a man. And he's lived with all the same difficulties and hurts that you've had to live with. But he never sinned. On that day when Jesus judges the world, there'll be no secrets and there'll be no excuses. And it'll be too late then to say, I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. It's now we need to be forgiven. It's now we need to be saved. And Jesus, who is God's Son and who's a real human being, is willing to forgive us. And he's willing to save us. He's willing to bring us back to God. And that's the real message of Easter. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. He's God's Son, and he's a man. He's one of us. And he's alive now, and he's ready, and he's willing to save you if you will only trust yourself to him.